Good morning, everyone. Take a moment, please, and stand up. Get your jitters out quickly if you need to. Stretch it out. Blink your eyes a couple of times. I have a question to pose to you this morning. How can a Christian truly love so that they are recognized as different to everybody else? So tell me, are Christians really different? Our automatic response is to say, yes, of course we're different to other people. But you see, I don't know. Christians are good and they're kind and they're generous. Or maybe Christians aren't that different after all. We're all human, aren't we? We're all basically good inside. You see, last year in class, we did this little exercise where we had to write up on a board all the qualities and the characteristics of being a Christian. We wrote up things like good, kind, loving, gentle, forgiving, joyful, peaceful. All these things went up on this list. And then our teacher turned around and said, now, what about everyone else? Can they be all these things? I don't know. Can they? Let's take goodness for an example this morning. Do you think goodness is limited to Christians? I read an article recently. John Shaw wrote it. And it was about what non-Christians want Christians to hear. In it, he provides a quote from one of these non-Christians who said this: I'm often distressed at the way some Christians take it as a given that Christians and Christianity define goodness. Many of we non-Christians make a practice of being good. We too have a well-developed ethical system and are devoted to making the world a better place. Christians hardly hold the monopoly on what is right, good, or just. I personally think it's pretty safe to say that just being good isn't an identifying factor of being a Christian. And as we found out that day in class, non-Christians can be, and many are, kind, loving, gentle, forgiving, joyful, and peaceful as well. So, if Christians are good, and generally speaking, everybody else is good, what's the difference? How could being good distinguish a Christian from others if non-Christians are good people too? Or maybe, as Christians, we're motivated to prove that we're better than everyone else, that we should help more people, be kinder and more generous, so that we look like we are better, so that we can be recognized as different or as more loving than everyone else. Are Christians different? Should we be? How can a Christian be recognized as different when there are so many good people in this earth? Jesus speaks often about loving others, loving God, loving our neighbours. Let's consider the passage in Luke 6 that was beautifully read to us this morning. It's about being loving. It's about doing the right thing, not retaliating, being generous. Jesus is speaking here to a crowd that came to him on the side of a mountain. And Jesus is speaking directly to them about loving their enemies. How someone can practice love and how to be active in loving one's enemies. Actively seeking their good, loving those that hated them, blessing those who cursed, praying for those who mistreated them. In saying these things, I think Jesus covers what the attitudes and the motivations of loving others should be. Take bless those who curse you, for example. A quick dictionary.com search will define blessing as the following: the act or words of a person who blesses, a special favour, mercy or benefit, a favour or gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness, the invoking of God's favour upon a person, praise, devotion, worship, especially grace said before a meal, and finally, approval or good wishes. A curse, on the other hand, is the expression of a wish of evil to befall another. It's the opposite of blessing. It's to want bad things to happen to another, to wish that everything important and valuable to another is ruined or taken away from them, to wish the worst experience on another's life, to hope they experience pain. Now, think to yourself for a moment. What does it mean for you to bless someone who's cursed you? Who's someone that's cursed you? What are you really asking for them? I hope you're saying, God, give your favour to this person. God, have mercy on them. God, may they be happy. Bless those who curse you. Or how about do good to those who hate you? Now, doing good means to do something that is beneficial. Act in a way that helps another. Do something to improve the condition or the appearance of someone's well-being. To do good to someone is to see them in a better state than what you found them. So do good to those that hate you. Benefit those that hate you. Improve the condition of those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. I think what Jesus proposes here is pretty extreme. For some of us, I think our lives haven't been that easy. Some of us have experienced a lot of pain and abuse. We've been the recipient of hatred and mistreatment. A proposition like this seems a little irrational, maybe a little hard to comprehend. This isn't just basic kindness, it isn't basic goodness, and it isn't love to those who already love us. Jesus requires that we love the people that don't. It's not about showing love to our family and our friends or those that are nice to us. It's about being loving to those that hate us, that persecute us, that curse us. The challenge to treat an enemy the same way you would like to be treated is pretty extreme. And I personally find it beyond my own capacity. I think Jesus gives us a bit of help here. And he provides us with some examples of what a scenario might look like where we might actually be called to love our enemy. An example he gives is turning the other cheek. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him also the other. There's a movie, I wonder whether you've seen it, Hacksaw Ridge. Not if you've seen it. Okay, good, a few. It's a very interesting movie I found. I watched it with Cameron, his choice. There's a scenario in this movie where this exact thing happens. Someone turns the other cheek. The movie itself is about a Seventh-day Adventist. His name is Desmond Doss, and he joins the army as a combat medic, a conscientious objector, in World War II. Earlier in his life, he went through a time of hatred of his father, and he almost killed him. But in his heart, he experienced a desire to actually see his father dead. As a result, Desmond Doss was challenged by God, and he made a personal vow to never kill. This might be quite odd for someone who's signed up to join a war effort. And it became clear to other people that were also in the war with him, his fellow soldiers and those in command, that this man would definitely not carry a gun. He's not going to shoot one, and he's not even going to kill someone to save himself or a fellow soldier. The soldiers in his battalion are quite upset, and they're angry at this. They don't understand why he's even joining the war effort. If he doesn't want to kill the bad guys, the enemy, why is he bothering to sign up? They see him as unnecessary baggage, a liability, if you will. And the soldiers, they torment him. They try to get him to give up. They try to get him to leave. They test him. They test his beliefs, and they test his determination to stick to them. They do their best to make his life as hard as it possibly can. And one day, someone takes his Bible from him and punches him in the face. He holds up the Bible to him and he says, "Doesn't this tell you to turn the other cheek?" And the gentleman stands back and he says, "How about I give you a free shot?" And he points at his jaw and he says, "How about I give you a free shot right here?" How does Desmond choose? He's being picked on, ridiculed. He's being beaten. He's shamed. He's abused. Does he turn the other cheek, or does he choose to, you know, give him a lefty? He turns the other cheek. He does it physically, but he does it in here. He considers in that moment that the man standing in front of him doing this doesn't actually understand the choices and the decisions that Desmond has made. Desmond has this desire to care for and bring aid to them when they're going to need it most. He wants to be there for them. He wants to serve them. He wants to do his best to give them life amidst war, amidst death and destruction. And it doesn't matter how they treat him or what his opinion of them is, he still wants the best for them. I think Desmond appears to be different. Do you agree? Next in the Bible passage, Jesus speaks to us about this very question I posed to you. Can we be recognized as different? Jesus makes it clear that loving those who love you doesn't distinguish you as different. It gives you no credit. Doing good to those who are good to you doesn't do you any good either. In fact, even if you lend to someone who's going to repay you, it doesn't distinguish you at all. Why not? Why doesn't it credit us as different? Because other people live this way too. People we call sinners love those who love them. They do good to those who do good to them, and they lend to those who are going to repay them. If we do the same, it makes us no different. Loving our enemies, on the other hand, doing good to those who hate us, lending without expecting a repayment, that makes us different. But I don't think we can do it on our own. I think we need a little help. That day in class, when we were discussing the characteristics of a Christian, we dug a little deeper, tried to identify what it is in a Christian that affected every quality and characteristic of them. It's the presence of God. In the final verses of our scripture reading, Jesus says, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting back. Your reward will be great, and you will be called sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." I think we have God as a pretty perfect example of how to love our enemies. As Christians, with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have an ability to see more clearly exactly what God has done. We're enabled to recognize even more how he loves us. And the Holy Spirit seeks to make us more like Christ. We're told to be merciful like God, even to the ungrateful, even to the wicked. And we can do that by loving our enemies, doing good to them. And in return, we're called sons and daughters of the Most High. We're associated with God. The answer to the question, how can a Christian truly love so that they are recognized as different to everyone else? We love as God does, and that identifies us as his child, as different to everyone else. So when we face and come into contact with our enemies, we choose to turn the other cheek. We hand over our tunic as well as our cloak to the one who asks. We give our jacket and our jumper. Why not your beanie and gloves as well? When we give something to another who demands it from us, we don't expect a favour or anything else in return. What motivates our decisions? What guides our responses? Jesus. He demonstrated this extreme love to us and everyone else. And how do we do it? It's the presence of God living in us, helping us. Desmond Doss, he's a medic at the top of Hacksaw Ridge. He's despised, rejected, hated still by his fellow soldiers. But now they're wounded and they're scattered. They're stuck at the top of the ridge while all the able-bodied left. They left their mates behind in enemy territory. But Desmond didn't. Desmond stayed at the ridge. He didn't go. He went back for all the wounded that he could, tied them with a rope, and let them down over the cliff so that they could get medical attention. He saved their lives, the ones who hated him. He saved the lives of both American and Japanese soldiers, even though he was despised by both. I'm sure if he was the wounded one up there, he would want someone to come back for him. He treated his enemies how he wanted to be treated himself. He responded in action with extreme love, the way God loves, with mercy and compassion. And he prayed for God's strength every single time. God, just one more, just one more. God was with Desmond, and it was by God's strength that Desmond helped those soldiers, and he kept going back for just that one more. And then as a result, the soldiers recognized Desmond as different. They knew there was something unique about him. You see, God is kind, he's loving, he's merciful, even to those who are hateful and wicked. So loving like God, that associates us with him. And that is how we're recognized as being different, being like God. I think there's a strong challenge here to be different, to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse you. But I think it's beyond our natural capacity. We often fail, and we don't have the strength to love so selflessly. But God does, and he can enable us to do so. His Holy Spirit can work in our hearts to enable us to love those who hurt us, who have hurt us, who have cursed us, who have mistreated us. And in his presence, we can seek him and find him willing and ready to help us. For us to actually be different, for someone to think, there's something different about the way that person is kind to someone else. We need to be more like God. But we can't do it without his help. He's the one that changes us. He's the one that helps us to love our enemies. So we need to stay in God's presence, asking him to help. So do you want to take up the challenge to be like Desmond, recognized as different? Be like God. I'd like to invite you to take the opportunity now to come before God. And if there's someone or a situation that's been on your heart this morning where you're being cursed or mistreated, bring it to him. Invite him to do the work in your heart so that you can be recognized as different, as a child of God, loving the way he does.